The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Well, actually, I'm going to give you a little extra from the 12th chapter as well, so no extra charge, however. These are words of Jesus. He's given an analogy here, and the reason I'm reading this first part, because it kind of gives an interpretation or a sense of what repentance might be like. So Jesus said to the multitudes, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming,' and so it happens. You know how to interpret the appearances of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" And now our lesson. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. With apologies to Nicole Holligan. They had it coming. They had it coming. They only had themselves to blame. A couple weeks ago, Valerie and I and a number of folks from the congregation went to see Chicago at University City High School, the musical which Nicole was in. I don't think that was your song, was it, Nicole? No, it was Velma's. I suppose that we've all told stories about someone who got what was coming to them, or at least we thought they did. They got what they deserved. So I was thinking, well, perhaps that is why some of those who were present with Jesus told him about the Galileans who suffered at the hands of Pilate. Perhaps they thought they had it coming. Or maybe they simply reflected a long-standing attitude, an assumption that people must have done something if bad things had happened to them, presumably against God. We might think of Job's friend in the book of Job. Surely he had it coming for all the bad stuff that occurred to him. But Jesus is saying something else today. Jesus is asserting that all of us have cause to repent. Twice Jesus encourages or maybe even implores us to repent. The Greek term for that is metanoia. Change your mind. Change your mind around, or from the Hebrew, shuv, which is just simply turn around. Repent. Perhaps we would say today, do a 180. Or get an attitude transplant. Or we might think within Scripture, St. Paul's encouragement to become a new self. Change from the old self, the fallen, the sinful self, to a new creation. So what is the nature of repentance? Seems an appropriate question for us to ask during this Lenten season. Well, several things repentant is not, says Jesus. Repentance is not something that is for you and not me, or for others and not us. those ones that really need it, namely those who have suffered, who apparently have something coming? Did the fact that some escaped Pilate's violence, or that the tower fell on only those who were real sinners, mean that those spared were not in need of life change or of repentance? No, Jesus says, we all are in need of repentance. And a second aspect of this, we could perhaps think by asking the question of that idea of that all will perish. Is that a threat? Does repentance follow a threat? Is that going to motivate you? Rather than threat, Jesus appears to be speaking of what inevitably or logically follows a refusal to turn around. Repentance is perhaps what Jesus calls for. It's why I read those few verses earlier. To be willing to interpret the present times, to see what is before us, and to acknowledge that, perhaps to acknowledge our part in it. To interpret on two levels. One, I think, our historical, our social, political, and economic times. But also within our hearts as well, our personal time, or how we play into the reality in which we live. Be truthful about what's going on around us, current history, current reality. Don't Jesus' words appear extraordinarily pertinent to our times? How do we interpret the times? And shouldn't we be about interpreting them? Do we speak the truth about our reality? Are our hearts and minds changed? Let's be current. Is the Mueller report truth about our national reality? Is this a moment of repentance? Or is it a hoax? Are we going to repent? Or perhaps double down on old ways? Is climate change a reality from which we should repent? That is, change our behavior, do a 180. Or is it a hoax? Do we double down on using the earth in old consumptive ways? Do we repent the racism and prejudice which continues the destruction of individuals in our collective society? Or do we double down on white supremacy? Do we repent of misogyny and sexual abuse of women? Or double down on old protections for abusers? So there's a type of national repentance called for here, to which all of us need to be attuned. And how have we played to inhibiting the life of others? Jesus tells this parable about the fig tree. And within Scripture, the fig tree often is referring to the nation. And I think as we read it, we should think of it as our nation. It's planted to give fruit, that its people live and grow. So what do we do when the fruits of repentance are not found? Cut it down? Is that God's approach? No, God's mercy and love is applied. Perhaps to flip my metaphor around of doubling down, God doubles down on mercy and even more. In that sense, God is calling for us to maintain hope, to share mercy with others. So personally, we need to ask ourselves, in our own lives, in our own hearts, what are we doubling down on? That is, what in our lives are we justifying that is leading to the perishing of ourselves and others? What are we refusing to interpret, to identify, to speak the truth about, to ourselves, to God, to others? Jesus tells the parable of the fig tree, again, which represents the nation or the nations, because he knows that we too often are blind to the truth of ourselves, or perhaps too silent to the truth of the world. I was just talking to Mike Hoy earlier about a new book coming out from Art Vincent, who is really kind of, I think, challenging us to repent of our silence, perhaps, in relationship to the hunger that our country and the world is experiencing. To interpret the times and not be silent about it, and to offer life. How often do we hang upon old grudges and prejudices and explain our failures to care, explain them away? My whole year of instruction with the confirmands is to try to get them to understand or to experience, to acknowledge what forgiveness is about. Why we gather here at all, why we have churches at all. This past week on Friday, there was a great, very dynamic Jewish scholar, Amy Jill Levine, and was talking about lots of topics. And she teaches all over the world. Right now, she's currently teaching in Rome, but her regular position is at Vanderbilt. All these high-powered PhD students she's dealing with. But she also told the story of her encounters teaching in a maximum security prison. It was a story of her encountering a multiple murderer who kind of just sat in the back of the room and leaned his chair up against the wall and didn't say too much. But finally he did shout out and said, "You don't know what sin and forgiveness is." He had experienced that the families of the victims whom he had killed had wanted to meet him. And the whole project was around what I think a lot of us have heard of is not retributive justice, but restorative justice. They wanted to encounter, and I think they wanted to forgive. In this encounter with the offender, he repented. He regretted his deadly actions. The families forgave him. He still was in jail, and they didn't forget what happened. The book I have with the children is Forgiveness Remembers. Forgiveness is given doesn't mean you erase away all that happened. You remember it. But this forgiveness transformed him as a human being. It changed his heart around, made him new, restored him to life. In the story of Jesus, the actions against life, in whatever non-relational ways we might do it, in whatever ways we fail to promote the life of our neighbor and grieve God, is action that leads Jesus to the cross. This is true in the sense that when we have failed the least of these, whoever they may be in our lives, we have done it unto Jesus. He says that in the Gospel of Matthew. Gracefully, Jesus turns out to be the only one who didn't have it coming, but he takes it all. That's the meaning and reality of the cross. And he restores us with forgiveness, with an embrace of love and a purpose, sending us forth to care for one another, to forgive others. The crucifixion and resurrection are more than God just doubling down. The Old Testament says, abounding in steadfast love, or Jesus' answer to how often should we forgive? What is it? 70 times 7? Scripture is the story of forgiveness, of restoration, of new life, and then of sending, of purpose, of sharing that life with others. Repentance, then, involves forgiveness. Forgiven, we are able to forgive and restore. These are the fruits of the tree. Repentance is standing with those who suffer. For too much of our society has said, they had it coming. The poor, they're lazy, they deserve it. Women who are assaulted, they were asking for it. The jailing of Black America, well, yeah, they did the crime, put them all in jail. Our immigrants, they're just looking for welfare. They have it coming. Like everything else in Scripture and in our lives that is transformative, repentance is relational. It puts us in touch with those who have done us wrong or with whom we have done wrong. It puts us in touch with God, who gracefully offers forgiveness. And God is persistent about the creative and restorative relation of grace in Christ Jesus. He does not deal with us in terms of what we've got coming. but engages us in forgiveness, empowers us to make repentance an active, life-giving form of following Jesus the Christ. For in Christ, we encounter others in God's love, because life is God's intention for all. They've got it coming. Amen.